right. Thanks, Rob Martyr. It's Download here at 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Joining you after the gubernatorial forum for the Democrats out in Aurora University with Rick Pearson moderating. We heard all the candidates on stage. And as we get ready to analyze, I introduce Mike Fouché from the Daily Line, who joins us every Wednesday, but tonight comes in to help with analyzing.
And it's great to be here for hour five of the Justin Kaufman Exhaustion Watch. Been on since 3 p.m. today.
I had a great time with Rokan and sitting in for Anna DeVellantes, but I am happy to be here in the
Dude, man, you have all these five-hour energies just stacked up on your table there. That's,
it gives you energy. You know what? Sleep when you're dead, man.
That's right.
All right, so let's get into this because this is really, you know, they've been doing some forums and they haven't had complete cooperation. They've had some have showed up and others haven't. But tonight they had a full fleet of candidates after Amaya Pewar and Scott Drury have removed themselves from the race. What was takeaway? I mean, I don't want to act in wins and losses, but who did well? Who didn't? What did we take away from this forum we just heard on WGN Radio?
What I thought was that it was clear that J.B. Pritzker was running on his resume. He kept talking about it. No matter what, it was always going back to the things that he's done and things that he's done for Illinois and his resume. And Daniel Biss, clearly, you know, he sounded like the technocrat that he was. You know, he had some very specific kind of programmatic solutions to things. And then Chris Kennedy really was all about the big idea. And it was really kind of amazing. You know, he actually, I haven't heard him talk this way. Because I haven't been listening.
Well, really this was about saying that we're not going to change. Let's take education, for example. I mean, this is what you're talking about, the idea that we can't change the way education's funded or be a better state for education until we fix that we're funding it by property taxes.
Right.
And the reason we fund it by property taxes, in his words, because Speaker Madigan is a tax appeals lawyer.
Right.
And the idea that they're making their start signaling towards corruption. But this idea that he's actually looking at very specific
the systemic
things.
Well, he was looking at the system. He was really about the forest for the trees. There's this whole series of things that we need to address and take care of before anything's going to be fixed. You know, I thought that was really compelling and really interesting. You know, there were other candidates there. I think that's the most I've ever heard of T.O. Hardiman since he's been running for governor. You know, you really don't hear much from him. And same for Bob Diber and you know, it's great that they're out there, but, you know, they're just not catching fire. And you know, probably the best line of the night actually came from Chris Kennedy, where at the beginning he was asking, you know, are you from a wealthy family? And he said, well, before this campaign, I thought I was from a wealthy family. You know, I mean, so, you know, other than that, you know, it was actually a pretty cut and dry. Nobody attacked anybody else.
Yeah, they didn't. I thought Senator Biss kind of went at both Pritzker and Kennedy talking about the million. We're done. The idea of the businessman with no experience in politics. That we've tried that. We've done that. We've seen that with both the president and the governor. It's time to go in a different direction. But let's get to J.B. Pritzker, who's considered to be the front runner here. J.B. Pritzker went out of his way to say,
I'm going
to
challenge that, by the way.
Are you? But, you know, he went out of his way to say, what do you do when nobody's watching? And he made a good point to say that before anyone was running for office, what were you doing? And he points to, and I think he can do this, that he has been involved in trying to be, he's been involved in political issues for sure, but social issues as well, and he's given money to causes. He has been a political figure, even if he has not been running for.
Yeah, he's a resume candidate. I mean, that's really what he's trying to do. But, you know, Chris Kennedy's got the same sort of background. You know, I mean, his family has been involved in, you know, so many charitable causes since the beginning of time. I mean, you know, his family basically helped start the Special Olympics, the nonprofit that he's been running since he sold the Merchandise Mart is basically attempting to get high quality food to poorer families in Illinois. You know, so I think that you know, doesn't necessarily hold a lot of water. I mean, and to go back to this issue about who really is the front runner. You know, one of the things I keep hearing is that Chris Kennedy's name ID is still very, very high among African-American voters. And really, this is a name ID race. You know, okay, everybody, you just listen to this debate. How many Illinois citizens are paying attention to these debates at this point? Very few. You know, you, listener, are one of the select chosen few that are paying close attention to this right now. And I think that really, it's going to get down to what happens in the last 3 or 4 weeks before the election. You know, people are going to start turning on and paying attention. all this talk about J.B. Pritzker spending money and all that stuff now, you know, there's a lot of wreckage of wealthy candidates who have spent a ton of money in Illinois and crashed at the end. Al Hohlfeld, yeah. You know, I mean, Blair Hull. These are all people who remember Al Hohlfeld. You know, he was the guy that ran and basically opened up the case for Carol Moseley Braun to win that year. She zoomed in at the last minute. Blair Hull, another rich guy, and Barack Obama zoomed in at the last minute. You know, Blair Hull was leading.
So who do you think? I mean, do you see Chris Kennedy as the zoom in kind of guy?
Maybe. I think, or Daniel Biss. I mean, you know, I think that there's a lot of things that happen in the last 3-4 weeks. You know, you get all this candidate spending early on and you lock up people that are establishment people and you get the party faithful, certain groups of party faithful, very excited because you're spending a lot of money. But then when the voters get online and they start paying attention, you know, then I think that a lot of things can happen very quickly, very fast.
Mike Fouché in studio tonight. We're breaking down what we just heard in Aurora at the summit, the forum, Democratic gubernatorial candidates all on stage with Rick Pearson, broadcast right here on 720 WGN. You know, when it's all said and done, every candidate that was up there, even Teo Hardeman, called themselves a progressive Democrat.
Right.
I mean, it seems to now be the political buzzword of the week right. In this way that everybody right. wants to grab that mantle.
Liberal is dead.
Liberal Long is dead, so it's progressive. But when you hear J.B. Pritzker call himself a progressive Democrat or Teo Hardeman, I mean, I start to get lost in what that actually means.
It means nothing. I mean, really.
Doesn't mean anything, I mean, but why are they doing it? There is a progressive movement in Chicago. We saw that with what happened. Bernie Sanders pushed Hillary Clinton here and Chewy Garcia forced Emanuel to run off. Mm-hmm. Does any of the candidates that are running actually own progressive?
Well, I mean, I think that there is, I mean, what you could say is that there is a more establishment Clinton-esque Democrat who's more center.
That'd be J.B. Pritzker. Yeah.
Which would be J.B. Pritzker.
And maybe Chris Kennedy. I don't know.
I think that he wanders back and forth sometimes. And then there is, you know, a group of people who are much more left. You know, I think Daniel Biss was really reaching for that when he tried to get Carlos Rosa as his campaign. Lieutenant governor for his campaign. So, you know, I think the progressive typically means somebody that's a little more left. But when you start hearing people like J.B. Pritzker talk about how they're progressive, you hear Rahm Emanuel talking about how he's a progressive, you know, the meaning really is lost.
Is there a strategy to it? I mean, he keeps saying the word progressive and then people start to lose the point of view of where they stand on the progressive spectrum.
It's a positive buzzword. Yeah. Democrats love hearing progressive, you know.
Mike Fouché in studio from the Daily Line. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. You know, I want to talk to you about the preview of the Chicago budget. Karen Lewis as well, another big story this week today, hospitalized. And we'll continue our conversation, which we usually do on Wednesday nights, but we do it tonight here on Tuesday. Mike Fouché, stay with us. Mike Fouché in studio tonight. Man behind the Daily Line, which covers all things Chicago, Cook County, Springfield, when it comes to politics.
I am the only man in the Daily. Well, the only reporter man. I mean, all our other reporters are women.
There you go. I guess against the man who's...
You could say the person.
The person.
One of the people.
One of... I just call you editor or founder.
Guy.
All right, so let's talk about Chicago. First up, Chicago Teachers Union President Karen Lewis fell ill. She had a stroke. And she seems to be recuperating, but this was a story that was really released today. What ramifications? She battled cancer. She was in a position where they were wondering if she would retire. She was out of the spotlight for a while, but she's still a huge asset and a huge player when it comes to the union, the teachers union here in Chicago.
So in 2014, when she announced that she had cancer, she said that it was a annoying thing that she had to deal with, essentially, which was basically the same statement that she made today. Sickness, I'm going to have to deal with that. Great. You know, she is a fighting spirit. That's terrific. You know, I think that if somebody's going to get through this, it would probably be somebody like her. And she is a very strong personality, a lot of will, and, you know, those are the people who tend to do well.
You know, one thing, she's a polarizing figure. And she's, you know, and we hear a lot of people will talk about the Chicago Teachers Union and they'll be negative about Karen Lewis, especially when the strike was on, this kind of thing. But when you talk to rank and file teachers in the Chicago Teachers Union, they love her. I mean, she is a power. She is their leader. They believe in what she's doing.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, that's where the bread's buttered. That's why she does a great job and continues to be the president.
There is very, very little strife within the Chicago Teachers Union. That's something that's really interesting to me. Is that when you talk to people in CTU, they are all pretty much on the same page. Now, how well they manage to execute the stuff, you know, is maybe a different story at different times. But, you know, you talk to different people within the CTU structure. It's funny. They all seem to like each other and really want to do stuff as a team. So I think that her being ill is something that affects just about everybody that's part of the structure at CTU as an organization, and they are all trying to pull for her. Are there other people in the organization that, you know, could potentially be leaders? Yeah. And, you know, there's talk about who would potentially be a leader and who would not be, you know, if Karen Lewis were to step down or leave at some point along the line. But I think that has always been something that people talked about somewhere down the line.
Karen Lewis.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to the Chicago budget. This is the week that the mayor is preparing the budget, which is a proposal to begin here for what this would be 2018, 2019, or they do it all in 1 year?
What, you mean for the budget?
Yeah.
They're going to do it for 2018, generally for calendar year.
So calendar year, 2018. It's already some trickle out, some taxes, some ideas. I found myself being a little bit annoyed by what I saw, I think, from the Tribune or sometimes today when they talked about the trickling out that the tax on 911 and also Uber.
Yeah, rideshare, Uber and Lyft. You know, I think one of the things that is, for those of us who spend a lot of time following Chicago city government, whether you're a reporter or you're somebody who is a lobbyist or an advocate, there is definitely a certain amount of hide the debt and hide the problems that's going on in city government. And everyone pretty much agrees on everyone that is not in city government pretty much agrees on that. And, you know, the city has been moving around a piece of paper saying, well, you know, we have a budget gap of about $141 million that we have to fill. But then the thing is that they're not talking about a number of big ticket items that are not being addressed. One is, the city has gone way over budget on police overtime this year, almost by $100 million. They're sure to do that again next year. They have to renegotiate the contracts, not just for the police and fire, but for all of the city unions. Now, you could push that negotiation down for a year or two past the 2019 election, but at some point, somebody's going to have to pay for that. It's going to have to be retroactive, so either you pay it this year or you pay it later. There are other things too, like the cost of hiring all these police officers. That's not really truly being budgeted for. The mayor said that he's going to bring 1,000 new police officers into the force. We're getting to a point where we're nowhere near 1,000 new police officers in the force because there's been a lot of retirements, and they just haven't been able to train them up as fast as they wanted to. So, you know, that adds up. You know, we're probably, it could be much more like a $300 or $350 million budget gap rather than 141. But the way that the city has been dealing with the money is that they've been hiding it in different ways. And the reason for that is one big reason. This is the last budget before aldermen and the mayor have to go out and get petitions in order to go back on the ballot. So this is the last budget before the candidates start deciding whether or not they're going to run for office. The next budget will be in 2018, will be after candidates have been put on the ballot and have decided who's going to be running and not running. So, you know, as you know, we did a podcast interview here at WGN last week. Victor Reyes, former director of government affairs for Mayor Daley, he called it a kick the can budget.
Yeah, great.
Where Rahm Emanuel is going to try and kick the can down the road. So we're going to get a bunch of little small little things that it's going to be biting at us with this rideshare thing and the amusement tax and the 911 tax. But truly, there are some really big, big things that are going to have to be paid for down the line. And also in 2020, the way that the pensions have been paid for, we are expecting a giant ramp up in our property taxes. It's already mapped out. We're going to have a big jump in property taxes.
In 2019,
2020. So, you know, after the election. So there's a lot of big, big things that are coming.
The issue I have, and it's kind of part of the problem I have with the budget when you hear about trickling out taxes. I don't mind paying taxes, but I also believe that, you know, I think you get into a sticky wicket when it comes to the ride share. Because I feel like the whole concept, there's been pushback, we've been arguing, but now that we get into fiscal trouble, we're going to put more money so they cost as much as cabs. That's one thing. But I can choose not to take rideshare. I can give my money to cabs. I can take the public transit. There are other, I can walk. There are other things I could do.
Yeah.
With the 911 tax, that's not a tax that if I call 911, I get charged 30 cents. That's a overall... Everyone's getting taxed to be able to have the service. And what gets me mad is that's just a mandatory tax for living in the city of Chicago, once again, regardless if I use the service or not.
Here's the long and the short of it. The one thing that people, that politicians hate more than anything is for citizens to open up their property tax bill, which they get in October, and to look at that property tax bill and go, oh my God, I can't believe how much it jumped from the last time I got this.
Right.
And so they try to come up with as many different ways that they can, you know, stick the money into different places where you're not really paying attention.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, once again, have lifted my spirits, Mike.
I'm here for the happy time.
Yeah, you are.
That's me.
Mike Fouché covers politics here in the state of Illinois and city of Chicago for the Daily Line, dailyline.net. Great to see you.
Great to be here.